The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is the Ben Burnett Show, the only show in America that features a one-term has-been retired politician that nobody knows on Extra 106.3.
What's up? Welcome to the Ben Burnett Show on Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative talk station. Grateful to have you. I will do this a couple times throughout the show. If you will send me a DM on Instagram to the Ben Burnett Show, or you'll find me on Twitter and wave at me and get my attention. I've got Peach State Pride hats. They've got my super fancy logo with Stone Mountain on it. I am super grateful for the partnership with Peach State Pride. I don't need anything from you. We will get your address. They come in the middle of next month, and I will mail them to you. Something for nothing. A concept that we thought only the Democrats knew about. But it turns out Speaker Mike Johnson is interested in cutting deals with everyone except his own party. You've seen the Democrats turn down a bill earlier this week with federal funding to the Israelis for their defense. The Republicans are content to pass things piece by piece. I don't necessarily agree with that, but sometimes when you get in an emergency situation, I totally understand it. And then Mike Johnson also turns around and is like, well, you know what? Let's tie it to the funding in the war in Ukraine. Another concept that, candidly, I don't have a problem with. I don't think it makes us a very trustworthy ally for a couple of reasons. I think that the entire world, especially our adversaries like Iran, China, and Russia, see the discontent and the ability to not get along with our American legislative branch, and they have used that and exposed it in really dramatic ways. You've seen President Biden have a very, very difficult time with foreign relations. The withdrawal from Afghanistan was nothing short of an absolute catastrophe for his administration. I have a lot of concerns for a couple of reasons, and I think they're all super valid. I've told you over time, I am not a very big advocate for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I do not trust anybody who has sought the highest office in the land, in this case, their land, Israel, the mothership, since Bill Clinton was in office. I think he's a divisive figure. I think if you look at our politics in America, they're divisive. I think if you had any concept of global and current events, Israel is in turmoil like the United States has not seen since probably World War II. Last weekend, when Iran chose to retaliate, and yes, I know that it's not really commonplace to say it, they chose to retaliate because the Israeli government essentially bombed an embassy or a State Department office in Damascus that belonged to the Iranians, and it brought about some destruction, and it was a very political statement. So last weekend, the Iranians sent drones from Iran direct as an attack from one sovereign state to another. Across borders, they sent drones, they sent missiles, they sent all sorts of things. And the Americans and the Israelis and the Jordanians and the Saudis all kind of collectively brought their intelligence and their weaponry together to shoot most of those down. The loss of life in Israel was minimal, but the statement was absolutely sent. In subsequent days, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his war cabinet, which also doesn't get along, which is something you will never see out of the United States Department of Defense. They may not all get along, but they don't get along behind closed doors. You don't see that messaging in public. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat. It's one of the things that makes me grateful to be an American. They work at the pleasure of the president, in this case, Biden. But Netanyahu doesn't share the same thing, and he doesn't have the same values, and his cabinet doesn't have the same values. And they are at odds with each other about how they want to respond to the Iranian government. A couple of things there that I think it's important to understand. If the Israelis get in a war, a full-blown conflict with Iran, nobody wins. I understand that the Iranians leveraging their resources with Hamas and Hezbollah and their relationship with Lebanon to cross sovereign borders, murder a bunch of civilians has been very, very damaging. I understand that that is a unifying event to a sovereign country. In Israel's response, they have done what they wanted to do. President Biden has said, hey, we've got to mitigate risk and loss of life amongst civilians. I actually, for all the things that I disagree with President Biden on, I don't necessarily disagree with the sentiment. Like, you don't want to see innocent people get killed, but there's a dirty little secret. And you've seen it with the United States federal government and the decisions that have been made all the way back to people like Harry Truman. Civilians, whether you like it or not, they are a part of the equation. And people get very, very angry when average walking around citizens of a country start losing their lives. I think we kind of expected in military conflicts that there are going to be loss of life of our men and women in uniform, or in this case, Israel's. I think we totally expect that. But you really get people's attention when people, average walking around people, start getting put in the ground. That is 100% the truth, and I think everybody over there knows it, and I think nobody is willing to say it. That's the thing that ultimately scares me. You've seen the Biden administration and the Obama administration both free up tens of billions of dollars that the United States had frozen. They candidly belonged to the full faith and credit of the Iranians and their citizens and their federal government. To me, it's not a coincidence that when you free up tens of billions of dollars and things start happening to you, the United States should take notice. I don't know why the Obama administration sent a pile of $4 billion in cash from Switzerland over to the Iranians some decade ago. I have no idea. I also have no idea why the Biden administration would free up $10 billion as some sort of negotiating tactic or negotiating ploy. It's nonsensical. These people openly chant amongst common citizens, death to Israel, death to America. And I've already told you, I'm a guy who has tremendous disagreements with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I do. I think a lot of conservatives do. But it's like a marital fight or a fight with your estranged ex-girlfriend. You still care about him a lot. The United States and our relationship with Israel will always, through administration after administration after administration, supersede how we feel about a leader in the present day. That's the big picture. When Prime Minister Netanyahu will not stop the invasion that is taking place in the occupation of Gaza and the West Bank, that is an entirely separate issue of the defense of Israel's sovereignty, and the United States is always going to be down for that ride. And to be honest with you, I totally support the measure. I totally support both things. I think Prime Minister Netanyahu has to get his military organized, and I believe that the Western states are very supportive of the fact that the United States is kind of leading the way, saying, hey, violence amongst civilians is probably not the answer. This has no long-term strategy. But you know what else is really interesting about this whole thing? The Saudi government doesn't really have diplomatic relations with Israel. They were sharing intelligence with the United States upon that Iranian incursion that happened last weekend, as were the Jordanians, who also aren't exactly friends with the Israelis. Do you know why? Because those groups hate each other. They all dislike Israel, but the Iranians do not care for the Jordanians and vice versa. You've seen some of the diplomatic ties with the Saudis soften just a little bit between the Iranians and them. But they're still very skeptical of one another. Ever since the fall of the Shah in Iran some six decades ago, they're not trustworthy. The Iranians are not trustworthy amongst Gulf state region actors. The Iranians have taken the opportunity after the essentially exit of Iraq and Afghanistan and the disarray that takes place in Syria, and they have made that part of their sort of quasi-empire. They control the land. The only friends that the Iranians have of any way, shape, or form in the Middle East is Lebanon. Think about that. I can't think of another region in the entirety of the world where there have been so many countries that disliked one another for a whole host of reasons. And I think sometimes it's really fascinating when you think about the fact that Iran doesn't like Jordan, and Jordan doesn't necessarily like Israel. But sometimes they come to the defense of one another over the big picture stuff. I wish America would get to the same place. And hear me when I say this. When you look earlier this week at Mike Johnson and his failed attempts to get funding bills for this or that, in this case, the Iran, Israel, or in this case, the Israel and the war in Ukraine, the Republicans are really, really guilty of not being able to put one foot in front of the other. You always hear it said, It's the gang that can't shoot straight. I can't remember a time in our country's history. Well, I'll say it over this way. I can't remember a time in my lifetime when one party in the Congress was so disorganized and they only had a two-vote delta that you honestly had to put together a coalition government. I believe the Senate is content to pass a bill funding the war in Ukraine and the war in Israel. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I think they have made that position pretty clear. I think you've seen Senate Majority Chuck Schumer take the lead and say, this is what we would prefer to see. But Chuck Schumer, for all of his faults and for all the things that I disagree with the man on, he's of Jewish descent. He is absolutely going to stick up for Israel if push comes to shove. And unlike Mike Johnson, I think Chuck Schumer has the ability to count to 60 or 51 as the case may be. That to me is about America in 2024 that I do not understand. Mike Johnson is no different than Kevin McCarthy. And for all of you who thought it was going to be different, it is never going to be different. The machine, the political machine in this country is front and center at absolutely all times. Fat cats, in no uncertain terms, they always get theirs. You saw earlier this week as the first quarter disclosures came out, Mike Johnson raised $20 million. That is not on the backs of the little people like me and you. And I don't know what Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is certainly at this point really upset with Mike Johnson as she's called to for him to vacate the office. But the truth is that the next guy is going to be in the same spot and he's going to have no leverage because you can't get the rational, you can call them rhino, Republicans on the same page as the people like Thomas Massie. And there is certainly not a bill to fund the war in Ukraine or to fund the conflict in Israel or to fund our obligations at home. The United States federal government in the legislative branch is completely disorganized. On some level, there should be things that no one fundamentally disagrees with, and our Congress can't even seem to agree on those. You can catch the Ben Burnett Show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Last Tuesday, I had longtime state senator Don Balfour. That man did a lot. He was one of the guys who took the stars and bars off the flag. He sat in a trial in Fulton County over the falsifying of expense reports, and he was exonerated. It's a really good interview. You can find it on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or always at the podcast park. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Trump trial, and we're going to talk about jury selection. This is Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative talk station. We will be right back.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
This is the Ben Burnett Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to Extra 106.3 and the Ben Burnett Show, Saturdays and Sundays, noon. You can always find me at the podcast park to get all the old content. I won't say old. We'll say dated. How's dated? I've got interviews from all over time. I've got Marjorie Taylor Greene when she was running for the Georgia 6th against Karen Handel. I mean, I've had David Perdue after he got his ass just royally handed to him in a governor's race. That was really the first interview he did after getting just throttled by Brian Kemp with the Kemp reelect in that campaign. Georgia is an anomaly for a ton of reasons, most of which are that, well, look, there's a lot of us that like Donald Trump. There's a lot of us that don't. There's a lot of us who will vote for Brian Kemp and Donald Trump and not really like one or not really like the other, but we know whose team we're on. And I think that that is ultimately a roadmap. I think that Georgia has more of the answers on behalf of the conservative movement in this country than pretty much any other competitive state. I think that we have great messengers. I think if you look up and down the stack, you look at Chris Carr, I think the guy is right to prosecute gangs and sex trafficking and locally elected officials who want to create sanctuary cities and defend illegal immigrants for violent crime. To me, like, Georgia's the bastion in America in 2024 of common sense. I think you've seen Governor Kemp with his reelect, you know, 7-8 points. I mean, that was a beating he gave Stacey Abrams. And then you look at a guy of a little bit different cloth, Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, who is very closely associated with President 45 Donald J. Trump. Has already endorsed him, come out. I'm sure if he's running for governor, and he is, that he will have the Trump endorsement. Those are three very different guys who do things very different ways, and they all find success. Why can the rest of the country not figure this out? When you look at what the Georgia General Assembly has put up, and yeah, I roll my eyes at plenty of the stuff they do. Like, we put a resolution together to condemn Hamas. We put a resolution together to defend in vitro fertilization. We put resolutions together for things that nobody fundamentally disagrees with, except the people from the state of Alabama. But it seems to be working. Maybe all of those things, when I roll my eyes, maybe that is actually a me problem. I don't think it's a me problem. I think most of you, if you asked yourself the second or third question, you would feel the same way. It's unlike anywhere else in America in 2024. Speaking of America, in 2024, the United States Federal Reserve Board has found itself in a little bit of a pickle. Because ever since COVID and when the inflation started, Jerome Powell and the White House, both sides, Trump and Biden, both of them, said that they wanted to do things to watch inflation subside. In totally candid behavior, President Trump was out of office, but he's said it numerous times on the campaign trail. To bring inflation down, it requires two things. Neither of these are going to be popular. Number one is that you have to drive unemployment to 5% plus. You have to make it hurt for the average American people. Well, if you know anything about the labor force in this country, unemployment sits down around 3%. It doesn't matter where inflation goes. It doesn't matter how much more your cost of goods sold if you were a business owner. There's help wanted signs absolutely everywhere. There, to that point, there are over 1 million open jobs in America right now. And that is in spite of the fact that we have a migrant crisis at the southern border. And look, it's fair conversation to say, if we didn't have an influx of immigrants, how many open jobs would we have in America? That's a conversation that nobody has. The left just wants to let them in and the right wants to just build the wall. But I actually think it stands to reason to justify an immigration policy that makes sense. It's tied to absolutely everything. It's tied to how much you pay for gas. It is tied to your wait times if you want to go eat at a restaurant. It is tied to every manual labor organization in the country. And we don't do anything about it. You hear me say it at least 3 times a show. Congress is not in the business of solving problems. They never have been, and they never will be. But the American people are in favor of problem solving. Both sides. The other thing, number two, of what needs to happen for the United States to watch inflation slow. You heard Jerome Powell say 2 or 3 years ago, his goal was to reduce inflation back to a rate of 2%. And I told you at the time that would never happen. What we sat through after the Great Recession in 2007 and 2008 were interest rates that will never be seen in America again in my lifetime. If you were going to get to that place, you would have to essentially drive the country into austerity measures. You would have to reduce the balance sheet of the federal government and our accounts payable by such drastic margins. I bet it's probably 15. I bet you would have to reduce the federal budget by 15%, which is impossible when you consider the fact that every single year, Congress allows for what seems to be up to a $1 or a $1.1 trillion deficit. Every single year, Congress spends over $1 trillion that it does not have. So if you want to see prices stabilize and stay at the same place for 10 years, like they largely did over the course of the previous decade, I mean, look, it wasn't fair to assume that inflation was always going to be zero. But for 10 years, you really didn't see a lot of things in this country raise in price. That was just the reality of the situation. You guys got so used to paying the same thing at the gas pump, the same thing at the grocery store, the same thing when you went to get your car fixed for goods and services. That's not necessarily the way the world has always worked either. But you and I feel a certain way when we start to pay more, and eventually you kind of get used to it, or eventually you make the adjustments so that your lifestyle becomes something more of what will accommodate the current pricing structure. And Jerome Powell has had to backpedal this really for the first time in public in the Biden administration. And to be honest with you, Jerome Powell serves at the pleasure of President Biden, but Jerome Powell also served at the pleasure of President Trump. Some of you may remember that Ronald Reagan nominated Alan Greenspan to the Federal Reserve Board back in the early 80s, and he served clear through the Clinton administration into the Bush administration. Like, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, if there is absolutely anybody in the world who is relatively nonpartisan, it's him. Because they do the best thing for the business economy in the country. And the president can fire them, but if the president fires them, that brings a whole host of issues and a tremendous amount of destabilization into the market. The one thing that politics absolutely hates, it's not Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's not Matt Gaetz, it's not Nancy Pelosi. The one thing that the business economy in America, and really globally, hates is instability with the United States. Well, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board in the United States of America is one of the five most important people, one of the five most important people on the face of the planet. And most of you have no idea what Jerome Powell looks like. Look, if I tried to get an interview with him, and I can get interviews with all kinds of people, there is not a chance in hell. He doesn't talk to the press unless it's in a controlled environment. You're not just standing outside that guy's house being like, what do you think is going to happen with the U.S. economy? Won't work. Got a ton of security. He manages a dozen Federal Reserve Boards around the country, and they keep their pulse. And those are made up of really, really, really big-time business owners on both sides of the aisle. Everybody. You never hear about them. There's probably 100 people in the country, maybe 200, that sit on the Federal Reserve Board for a term, and they're all well-to-do, well-respected educators, business people, both sides of the aisle. I've worked for some that have sat on it. I always thought it was extremely fascinating. Changing gears just a little bit to our friends in China. I mean, I kind of roll my eyes when I say our friends in China. They definitely stick their finger in the eye of the American people and the American government every chance they get. But there is an article in the Wall Street Journal this week that I wish that we as Americans would adopt. And we can't. There's too much freedom here, but damn, this is good. China's punishment for people with bad debts. They are no longer allowed to take fast trains, and they're no longer allowed to stay in nice hotels. Man, that is perfect. So much of what is wrong with the spending habits and the people who are always crying on the internet about how they can't get ahead is that they're idiots. And they go on vacation 16 times a year, and they can't afford anything, and their entire children's livelihoods and lives are financed on a credit card that they will pay and eventually refinance a house in order to pay bills 7% because it was better than 18. I loved reading this article. The feature in it is a lady whose name I would absolutely botch, who is in her early 40s. And she has $40,000 in personal debt and a base salary of $400 a month, which means that every year she essentially makes right under $5,000. And she has five times against that in long-standing debt. And China will not let her buy tickets on the high-speed rail. She got to go the slow way. I just love it. What would happen if the credit bureaus, can you imagine the Democrats? This is like one of the most conservative things I have ever heard. I wish there was a conservative run business out there that only wanted to do business with 800 credit scores, that was more than willing to look you dead square in the eye and be like, if you have to ask, you probably can't afford it. Can you imagine if Delta Airlines looked at Americans, especially look if they looked at people in Atlanta and were like, look, like, you're delinquent on your bills, and I know you can get nonstop here from Atlanta to Chicago to Los Angeles to Seoul, South Korea, or Hawaii direct, but you don't do the right thing, and you're delinquent, and you're costing other people money, and so you're going to have 15 layovers if you want to go to South Korea. Man, people would get their behavior in a hurry. You listen to people, they won't go to Australia because they don't want to spend 14 hours on a plane from Los Angeles. And I was like, never mind the fact that it's a super cool place. I wish this existed. This is some of you probably doubt sometimes that I am a Republican. This to me is the greatest thing that I have read all week, except the next story. This is not political at all. I've already chastised poor people who don't pay their debts, and I'm coming back around because I am a man of the people. Have you read the story about Terrence the octopus? I've never read a story like this. It was on People magazine. It's been sent to me a handful of times. It's like, hey, have you seen this? So Cal wanted an octopus. Cal is a kid who lives in Oklahoma. Ever since he was two or three, did research projects on octopus. He was fascinated by them. He's now nine, and he has campaigned and put together a business plan so that his father would finally allow him the opportunity to have one. So, Dad, as we often do, I mean, I've had to come back home with some crazy stuff for my kids, and I love them. My daughter, Lily Catherine, for whatever reason, fell in love with an axolotl, which, if you know what an axolotl is, it looks like a freshwater, like half fish. It's kind of like goldfish looking, but it's longer. It's got like a long, wide tail. It was nothing to write home about. She's got a backpack that's like axolotl themed. I had to go take her to the San Diego Zoo so she could see. It was the most overrated thing I have ever seen. I went 2,000 miles so this little girl could go see an axolotl. And that's what people, like, they go to the San Diego Zoo to see it. Never mind that pandas or the tigers or the whatever, it's the world renowned. It's the nicest zoo in the entire world. There's nowhere like it. If you ever want to go, you should go. So I digress. So I have done crazy things for my kids. But granted, I didn't bring the crazy thing back into my house. And so Cal, who is now nine, has finally won his battle to have the octopus. And for a couple of months, they had to figure out how to take care of it. It's not just a saltwater tank. You got to put some other chemicals in it. They don't know what to do. But they said, look, the octopus is super friendly. I had a teacher in high school who taught deep sea diving. He taught scuba diving. He was always in the Turks and Caicos, loved saltwater animals. Fascinating dude. His name's Steve Mussman. Hey, Steve, if you're ever out there, reach out to me. I still think a lot of you. And so, I mean, I'm kind of a saltwater guy. I read the story. I was fascinated by it. And then Cal names the octopus Terrence. I'll just tell you a little bit about Terrence. Terrence is a two-spot octopus, also known as a bimac. Look, if you're out there and you are, like, all into marine biology, you have been waiting for this segment on the radio for your entire life, because nowhere in Atlanta is anybody talking about Terrence the octopus. Only Terrence the octopus, the bimac, started to act a little weird, and Terrence went into the cave, as a lot of women do when they approach that cycle of the moon, and I'm going to avoid saying it, but you know what I'm talking about. And Terrence went all 2024 on us, and they forgot to tell Cal and Cameron that Terrence was a female. You already see where I'm going, don't you? Terrence the octopus laid over 50 eggs. And what I didn't know about octopus or octopi, and yes, I have researched what the plural name for octopus is, and that is what it is. Terrence laid 50-something eggs. And what I didn't know is that if the eggs are not fertilized, Terrence is going to die. He's going to go off to the farm. And so they're kind of, Cal and Cameron are having a real hard time with what to do. Like, one, they've totally misgendered the octopus, which is a, you know, I'll save that for Clay and Buck or the Morning Extra. But two, how are these dudes in Oklahoma who just figured out how to take care of one octopus going to figure out how to take care of 50 of them? There is some good news. Darwin and natural selection will more or less whittle that number down. If you've got five or six that make it, you're successful, assuming they're fertilized. And so Terrence is kind of depressed, sitting in the cave. Women, just in general, like, you guys roll your eyes. Guys, even the women who listen to me, you guys know I'm right. You guys, when you get around that time and it's you're just all weird. You're mean, you're weird, you want to be left alone. Well, Terrence had good reason, because Terrence was going to pass away. Only Terrence's eggs were fertilized before Terrence came into the refuge of Cal and Cameron. So now Cal and Cameron have a totally different, they were worried they were going to have a dying octopus. And the vet told them there was nothing they could do, that if the eggs weren't fertilized, Terrence wasn't going to make it, blah, blah, blah. And so they have this whole range of emotions. Can you imagine with a 9-year-old? This is great. And then they have to decide how they want to take care of 50 octopus. This is all over TikTok. I know conservatives hate TikTok, but it's made its way onto other platforms. It's awesome. This family now has, like, and these people, like, apparently, like, they're good octopi raisers. Over half of them, some 60 or 90 days later, are still alive. So if you run a marine biology school, you ought to call Cal and Cameron and be like, how did you get this, like, census cycle from where five of them survive? How'd you guys get 30 of them survive? Turns out that octopus are just domesticated animals. They do better in the setting when they have Oleander the cat nearby that likes to watch and paw at it and play. I just share that every once in a while. Like, we talk enough abortion, we talk enough guns, we talk enough economy. When I saw Terrence the octopus who had found a home in Oklahoma, I was like, I'm interested in that story, and I bet plenty of you will be as well. Speaking of fun, if you will send me a DM to Instagram at the Ben Burnett Show or Twitter at Ben Burnett, you'll have to wave at me on Twitter if I don't follow you. They changed all the rules. For all the great things Elon Musk once did, like getting in touch with people sometimes on Twitter's not that great. I still like Elon. I'm glad you're here. If you will do those two things, one of those two things, you don't even have to do both. Just DM me and say, hey, what's up? Send me your address. In about 3 weeks, I have a giant stock of Peach State Pride hats. Peach State Pride is a proud sponsor of the Ben Burnett Show. I don't take any money off these guys. They're just a great Georgia brand. You see, they've got stores in Athens, Watkinsville, super hoity-toity boutique stores. It's almost Mother's Day. They also own Empire South, which is a clothing brand that you see in a little more places. You see that in more places around the Southeast, but they own both. Speaking of Mother's Day, I would be remiss if you guys, if the gentleman in my audience, you got 3 weeks. If you skip Mother's Day, don't even go home. Like, don't go home. You're not going to skip out after church, after everybody's got their nice clothes on. You're not going to skip out after church and get flowers or write a card or whatever. You got 3 weeks. Buy her something nice. We've got all kinds of advertisers on the station. Solomon Brothers, that's one of my favorites. Jared and Solomon, they got locations in Peachtree City, Buckhead, Alpharetta. Like, yeah, just go buy her something. Whatever. It doesn't matter. She gave you children. Quit being lazy. And you also need to go buy her something because my Peach State Pride hats, they're not going to be in time. The final thing I want to get to with respect to this segment, and this is a good one, and you guys have been waiting for it. If you've seen all the articles around about the Trump hush money trial and the potential jurors that they have tried to seat on this trial, it's expected to start on Monday or Tuesday. At the end of last week, they had pretty much had everybody picked, but they profiled a handful of them. And one of the things that America hates to do in 2024 is we hate profiling. You don't know that because I work in technology and I'm a transitioned woman, man, non-binary, that I might potentially be a Democrat. Whatever. We are going to take the people that they have selected, and they are all anonymous, but they talk about what they do for a living, and we are going to profile them. This is going to be fun. Juror one, the foreperson. Works in sales, has some college education, originally from Ireland. That's a pretty conservative place. Married, but no children. Gets news from the New York Times. I don't like that one. The Daily Mail. I like that one even less. Sometimes Fox News. They're just trying to thread the needle in MSNBC. I'm going with they're going to convict Donald Trump. Juror two, oncology nurse, definitely lives, has at least a bachelor's degree, I would guess, that native New Yorker who lives with their fiance living out of wedlock. That's definitely a Democrat. Juror three, corporate lawyer, originally from Oregon, not married, doesn't have children, gets news from the New York Times and Google. That's not looking good for you, President Trump. Juror four, runs an IT consulting business for training and consulting, attended 1 year of college. This is looking conservative. An older man originally from Puerto Rico, definitely has family values if they're of Hispanic heritage, married with adult children and 2 grandchildren. That is Trump's dude. He does really well with Hispanics. If he's got to get one guy who's like, hell no, I'm not going to do it. He told the court he finds Trump fascinating and mysterious, but did not indicate strong feelings about his politics. Y'all, Donald Trump's not getting convicted. Like, we found our guy, Juror 4, the IT consulting guy who went to college for a year, who's Hispanic from Puerto Rico, married for 40 years with 2 grandkids. That is Make America Great Again, if there ever was one. Number five, the English teacher in a public charter school system with a master's degree in education, young black woman who isn't married and doesn't have children. She said she avoids political conversation. It's like Chuck Schumer literally just put this girl in the jury pool. I can't. Like, this is not indicative. Like, I get New York is liberal. It ain't this liberal. Juror six, software engineer at a large broadcast company. Oh, can you please tell me you work for NBC News? Recently graduated from college. Hell no. Not anywhere within there. Juror seven, a civil litigator. Married with two kids, lives on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. This one definitely likes money. Said there were likely Trump administration policies that he disagreed with. I mean, I'm there. I'm good with that. Live on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Let me tell you something about zip codes in America, guys. That's one of the most expensive ones on planet Earth, let alone America. Married, two kids, lawyer. I kind of like it. The only thing that makes me say no is that they read the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, and the Washington Post. In fairness to me, I have been quoted in all four, and I'm definitely a Republican, but they usually quote me or they seek it when I'm willing to talk potentially poorly about some of the candidates we put forward. I got a lot of notoriety when I was like, I don't know what the rest of Georgia sees, but Herschel Walker is not going to win this race against Raphael Warnock, because Herschel Walker may have run a football well, but I think the vast majority of people think he's probably crazy. Anyway, coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk about the ballot referendums from last week and how the folks in the Arizona General Assembly or the legislature heard exactly what I was talking about. This is Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative talk station. We will be right back.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
This is the Ben Burnett Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative talk station. My name is Ben Burnett. I am grateful that you have chosen to join me. The last segment of the show each week, we talk about interesting issues or current events, things like that. Last week, we talked about the ballot initiatives in the state of Georgia that the Republicans want to put out in front of their voters so they can take the pulse or see the tone and tenor of the conversation, make sure they're right, make sure that the state legislators are legislating according to their views. And on the Democrat ballot, we talked about abortion access. You'll see that early voting starts, I believe, in 2 weeks in the state of Georgia. And they wanted to ask about the repeal of the 6-week heartbeat bill, which we know is not going to happen in the state of Georgia. Not necessarily now with Governor Kemp anytime soon. I'm not talking about whether or not you're in favor of it. I am not talking about whether or not you hate unborn kids. I'm talking about the fact that I am right. And I said that I think it would be really interesting if the Republican Party in the state of Georgia took the same question that the Democrats are going to ask their constituents about repealing the 6-week abortion ban to something that is more moderate, whatever it is, 15 weeks, 20 weeks. I don't know. They wanted to roll it back to Roe versus Wade. I'm not in favor of going that far. But I said if the Republicans did that, what they would discover is that 25% of their constituents and their electorate would be in favor of something along the lines of a 15-week abortion ban. Not a 6, not the heartbeat bill. If they rolled it back to when there was known brain activity or a baby could feel pain, I think that a lot of moms, especially moms, women in the suburbs, care about this issue. I think it is terrible for the Republican Party in the long term. If you want to be a womb-to-tomb conservative, I'm not mad at you. There's a lot of you that feel that way. I, candidly, most of the time, I am one of those people. if you are a womb to tomb conservative, you don't want any like death assistance. You want to see everything that is an embryo have the opportunity to become a life. I don't necessarily agree with your opinion on either of those issues, but I don't necessarily, you're not my enemy. I'm not mad at you. I recognize that a lot of you feel that way, and I'm supportive of the fact that you get represented. But the state of Arizona, it's like they listened to the show last weekend. The article in the Wall Street Journal on Wednesday says Arizona lawmakers are expected to make another push to repeal the abortion ban. There are several Republicans. One of them is named Representative Matt Gress. He is willing to have the conversation on Twitter. It is still Twitter. I don't care what anybody says. He says, we need a reasonable policy that protects women and new life, not the extremes. Arizona is probably a little bit ahead of Georgia on this fight to see if whether the Democrats are going to ultimately control it. I think that Georgia is becoming more purple. I think that Arizona has elected a Democrat governor. I think the days of the moderate John McCain Republican, it's hard to get somebody like that through a primary. They deal with people like Carrie Lake, who is very closely associated with former President Trump. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that's where she is. It's 100% the truth. Under their legislature, and this is how unpopular what the Republicans are doing around the country, Arizona in 2022 passed a 15-week abortion ban under the GOP legislature before a Democrat became the governor of the state of Arizona, and people are still pissed. Like, look, I think that's where Georgia should probably end. I think that's where Georgia should probably land. I think that makes sense. I don't know that the Democrats would allow the Republicans out of the headlock they've got them in over the issue, but I do think that that is probably the country's tone. If you asked me, even people in the state of California, I think you'd have 2/3, 65% of the people who were against a 40-week abortion in the state of California. It's easy to run to the margins and say that these people want to abort a fetus on demand. Look, I don't think most people feel that way, so hear me when I'm talking to you. I think that most people are in the middle. I think all the Democrats are very in favor of less restrictive abortion rights, especially in some of these states' rights, with some of these states' rights issues. I will always maintain that it is a federal issue. I know that in 2024, it is considered a states' rights issue under the 10th Amendment. I don't necessarily disagree with the decision that the Supreme Court ultimately made. I fault Congress for never taking the opportunity to have a genuine conversation on behalf of the consensus of America. Congress, as we have talked about throughout the show, and as we have talked about throughout the show for a long time, is incredible at doing absolutely nothing. They never take on the big issues. They use the big issues to raise money. They are not interested in solving problems. And when Ted Cruz, senator from Texas, and his close associates got a lawsuit through that found its way to the Supreme Court, I knew how they were going to roll. They are constitutional conservatives. If it is not defined by Congress or by the United States Constitution, the current Supreme Court in the United States will always return the issue to the states. That's a right thing and the right strategy. If you are a conservative, that is the right thing to do. It is not the same thing. If Congress wants to make this issue go away, it's not a state-by-state thing. It's not Arizona at 15 weeks and Georgia at 6 and Alabama at 0. A life or a heartbeat in a child exists at 6 weeks. Whether you live in Georgia or Massachusetts or California or North Dakota or whatever, and a fetus has the ability to feel pain and there is quantifiable brain activity almost as soon as you exit the first trimester. It doesn't matter if you were in Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi or North Dakota. But Congress won't ever do anything because Congress doesn't do anything. And the headlock that the Democrats have on the United States of America right now over this issue is a loser for the Republicans in an enormous way. If you are wildly and radically pro-life, go adopt a child. Go get in the foster care system. Take these kids in. Prove it. There's nothing stopping you from living out your core beliefs. Nothing. But there is also absolutely no sanity in America with this issue right now. Look, if Georgia repealed the 6-week heartbeat bill abortion ban and moved it back to 15, eventually you would have people that were still upset over the issue. I do believe that 15 weeks is the right marker. I do. If it's going to be a states' rights issue, I think that's the appropriate marker that doesn't get Republicans killed. And I know I'm going to have haters in my DMs because I do every week, but we don't talk about what's right and what's wrong. We talk about what the future of America ultimately holds and where the answers tend to lie. You can follow the Ben Burnett Show on Twitter at Ben Burnett. I do. I've got a show page. I don't ever do anything with it. And you can follow me on Instagram at the Ben Burnett Show. I'm pretty active there. I talk a lot about the show. If you will send me a DM to either of those places or just wave at me, whatever, I will send you in the next couple of weeks a Peach State Pride Ben Burnett Show hat. They're super nice. They retail for about $40. I just traded a sponsorship deal for what I'm doing. I was like, hey, can you guys swag my audience? I want to clothe America. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that don't like it, but I want you to understand this. There's a lot of people that do. The Ben Burnett Show is the fastest growing weekend show in a top 10 market on Sundays in the entire country. I love all of you. I love you the most. This is Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative talk station. We will see you guys on Tuesday. Make it a good one.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.